This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Xi'an Museum of the Neolithic is to reopen in China, and an axe head in Scotland excites the experts. Bronze Age mourners used flowers, and an Irish Bronze Age settlement will not halt the construction of a new road. Early chiefdoms offer clues to modern wealth, and the Thornborough Henges saga is approaching its final chapter in Yorkshire. And finally, a 3,000-year-old prayer house is discovered in Iran. The Museum of the Banpo Ruins, the largest and best-preserved prehistoric settlement ever discovered in China, will reopen on April the 1st after renovations, the curator has said. The protection hall, built half a century ago above the ruins, was in disrepair, posing a threat to the relics, hence the need for renovation. The museum and local authorities reburied the ruins in a bid to better protect them from May to August 2003. The ruins have been in good condition since they were reburied, according to the observations of watching archaeologists. The renovated protection hall covers an area of 4,600 square metres, up from the original 2,700 square metres. Six exhibition rooms in the hall provide an insight into the primitive life using modern digital technologies. The museum was built on the 6,000-year-old Banpo village, about 7 kilometres east of Xi'an, capital of the western Shanxi province. The remains of the prehistoric settlement were discovered in 1952 when workers were laying the foundations for some factory buildings. The ancient settlement reveals the living environment, skills and social customs of the village inhabitants belonging to a matriarchal clan of the Neolithic Age. Amateur archaeologists in Angus in Scotland have stumbled across what is thought to be a burial ground dating back thousands of years. What they first believed to be a long-gone settlement could prove to be the ancient graves after the discovery of a rare artefact. An archaeology expert is now considering launching an in-depth excavation of a field at Mill of Inverarty near Forfar following the find. Excitement is growing at Kinnettles and District Heritage Group after member David Macklin from Carnoustie found part of a beautifully polished stone axe and piece of worked flint. He was one of 11 people who turned out for the first winter field walk of the year, organised by the group in a bid to uncover some of the area's secrets from the past. The find was made in a field where members uncovered Neolithic ring-marked stones associated with earth houses last summer. This time they noticed the field had several large slabs of stone sticking vertically through the ploughed surface. John Sheriff, archaeologist from the Royal Commission on the Ancient and Historic Monuments of Scotland, who helps and advises the searchers, said the axe find was quite rare. Intriguingly, they are often associated with Neolithic graves or burial mounds. Heritage Society Archaeological Coordinator Dave Walsh said the large piece of flint, almost certainly sourced outside Angus, might have been part of the grave goods. The finds are to be taken to the National Museum in Edinburgh for conservation and evaluation. History expert Mr. Sheriff hopes to run a test excavation later this year to find out if there are deeper structures. The group's next outing will be in a neighbouring field, as the possible burial mound may extend into it. The practice of placing floral tributes on graves may date back 4,000 years, research in West Wales suggests. Archaeologists have been examining a Bronze Age burial mound on the Black Mountain in Carmarthenshire, as well as analysing cremated bone, an urn and flint tools found in a kist. Tests on soil taken from around the site found microscopic pollen grains. Researchers believe it paints a new picture of ancient burial rites. The excavation on Fanfoil above Clanny Fanfach was carried out by Cambria Archaeology. Director Gwilym Hughes, who said the burial mound was slowly disappearing due to a combination of weather and the many walkers who climbed the mountain every year. The only solution was to excavate and record the vulnerable parts of the site and protect the remainder from further damage. At the centre of the mound, archaeologists examined the contents of a large rectangular stone kist that had been covered by a large capstone. It contained cremated bone, a pottery urn, a bone pin and several flint tools. The remains included that of a young child, possibly no more than 12 years of age, plus the burnt bones of two pigs and possibly a dog. It was radiocarbon dated to around 2000 BCE. Analysis of the soil surrounding the burial site by specialists from the University of Lampeter found the microscopic pollen grains. They show the burial was accompanied by a floral tribute of meadowsweet, which is attractive clusters of cream-white flowers. An ancient Bronze Age settlement believed to be 4,000 years old has been uncovered in the direct path of a Carlow bypass in Ireland. The discovery was unearthed on a farm this week and consists of a number of ancient circular dwellings, while preliminary examination of the site has also identified an area of cremation. However, despite the historical fascination this discovery will undoubtedly invoke, there's absolutely no intention by the National Roads Authority or the local authorities to stop the construction of the NN9N10 roads. "It's an honour that the discovery was made here on this farm. Something like this doesn't happen every day," stated the farm owner, Michael Kelly. Mr. Kelly indicated his firm belief that we should preserve this link with the past, adding that Carlow is rich in ancient archaeology, and he thinks it wrong for a dual carriageway to be built over it and for it to be lost forever. Preliminary investigations involving test trenching along the path of the roadway last summer revealed archaeological activity, and a closer inspection last week revealed this ancient Bronze Age site on the farm. Archaeologists arrived to clear and excavate the site, which will painstakingly continue by hand for upwards of a month. It's believed after this initial stage that the discovery consists of possibly three circular dwellings, which are indicated by carbonised markings of ancient timber stakes. Some bones were also discovered on the site, which have been sent away for testing to determine whether they are animal or human. Hilary King, a press officer with Kildare County Council, the acquiring authority of the N9N10, stated that the council could not comment on the nature of the archaeological examination until a full archaeological report had been furnished. She added that it was unlikely that it would affect the progression of the roadway. When human ancestors gave up their nomadic way of life to farm the land, they gathered in small communities where they could share their skills. These early societies, now known as chiefdoms, sowed the seeds for modern human civilization. Now a unique study of archaeological data has shown that the organization and symbols of power in these chiefdoms varied greatly. Robert Drennan and Christian Peterson from the University of Pittsburgh analyzed three ancient chiefdoms that existed in different parts of the world at different points in time. The anthropologists mapped out housing patterns and counted the shards of pottery and jewelry belonging to each house. These data allowed them to unravel clues about how each society was organized. Writing in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, the scientists described the Valley of Oaxaca in Mexico, which was occupied by an early chiefdom around 3,500 years ago. Most residents lived in small villages of less than 50 people, but there was one village, San Jose Mogoto, that had a population of more than 500. Wealth was the most important currency for the Oaxaca community, Drennan said, referring to the high number of possessions such as precious jewellery found in each individual dwelling. But the anthropologist discovered a surprising different kind of structure for the 3,000-year-old Alta Magdalena community in the Colombian Andes. Careful mapping of all the dwellings revealed that these people didn't live together in villages. They were scattered across the landscapes on small plots that they farmed for themselves. The Alto Magdalena people practiced a shamanic religion, as evidenced by the sculptures found in the region of priests with supernatural and animistic powers. Important residents were buried in the most ornate tombs, which bear religious symbols suggesting that they were revered spiritual figures too. But based on the distribution of the artifacts, Alto Magdalena's most powerful people were not necessarily the most wealthy. High-ranking people had a great deal of spiritual power, but did not enjoy a much higher living standard. In northeast China, Drennan and Peterson found that the structures of the Hongshan culture, which emerged around 6,000 years ago, lay somewhere between the Alta Magdaleno and the Oaxaca communities. Both religion and an economy was in evidence, but they did not seem to have meshed. According to the authors, some of the differences in chiefdoms can be partially explained by landscape and climate. Both the Valley of Oaxaca and the Hongshan region have dry, high highland climates, where agriculture is a risky venture. Working together to dig irrigation channels and shared labour meant that people would increase their chances of success. By contrast, the Alta Magdalena community had a mild climate where frosts were unheard of and a crop failure was rare. Clifford Brown, an anthropologist at Florida Atlantic University, has done studies of settlement patterns and reached similar conclusions. Most societies with a highly dispersed dwelling pattern tend to be in tropical forests, and the pattern may have something to do with the way that people exploited the environment. But climate cannot explain everything. Drennan says he was surprised, for example, that the Oaxaca and Hongshan, both regions with relatively low population levels, would support such large, tightly integrated communities at such an early stage. Perhaps the most intriguing findings of all is the way that each of these societies developed and persisted, In the Valley of Oaxaca, chiefdoms were relatively short-lived, giving way to larger and more powerful states in a period of less than 1,000 years. But in the Hongshan region and Alto Magdalena, development was much slower and the chieftains persisted for thousands of years. To Drennan, the differences illustrate how chiefdoms with a strong economic hierarchy quickly came to dominate. Such communities probably formed the basis of much of Western civilization. But the find also shows that cultures with a spiritual-based hierarchy, or at least less emphasis on material wealth, might be a more steady and stable culture over time. The application to increase quarrying operations near the Thornborough Henges Neolithic site in North Yorkshire in England will be determined at a planning meeting of North Yorkshire County Council on February the 21st, 2006. Following the publication of new archaeological investigations, the quarrying and construction company Tarmac has applied to extend gravel extraction at Ladybridge Farm, close to the 5,500-year-old site. The original planning decision was deferred in September 2005 to allow further surveys to determine whether the area was of national archaeological importance. The resulting independent report, commissioned by Tarmac, concluded that the archaeological remains at Ladybridge are not of national significance. On the other hand, English Heritage and leading experts are urging North Yorkshire County Council to refuse planning permission for the further quarrying, and they have reaffirmed their opposition to the application by quarry firm Tarmac. In a letter to the council, Neil Redfern of English Heritage says, "English Heritage believes that the archaeological evaluations have now adequately characterised the deposits within the Ladybridge farm site, and we have no hesitation in asserting that these deposits are of national importance." A view which I have to say that Badger supports wholeheartedly. Also opposing the Tarmac's application is the Council for British Archaeology. Its director, Mike Hayworth, says in a letter, "The CBA's view remains that the application should be refused because further investigation shows that the proposed quarry extension site includes nationally significant prehistoric remains, which would merit preservation in situ, in accordance with national planning policy guidance." Respected archaeologist Dr. Jan Harding, who has spent nearly a decade researching the Thornborough site, is another to oppose the quarrying. In his letter to the council, he says, "The additional archaeological investigation at Ladybridge and its interpretation in the report has done nothing to alleviate my objections. To the contrary, the work appears to confirm Ladybridge's cultural significance." In a detailed response this week, Tarmac expressed surprise at the continuing opposition to their plans. Tarmac Estates Manager Bob Nicholson said, "News that English Heritage is maintaining its objection to our planning application is deeply disappointing, puzzling, and flies in the face of factual evidence that emerged from a detailed archaeological investigation that was conducted using methodology agreed and subsequently monitored by them and a North Yorkshire County Council. That investigation was carried out by a team of highly qualified professional archaeologists whose work was featured in a daily diary on the internet. It's one of the largest ever carried out for a planning application of this nature and followed the same methodology that English Heritage's own consultants used for the proposed development of visitor centre and road improvements near Stonehenge." Mr. Nicholson added, "The fingertip search of Ladybridge involved a sample larger than English Heritage's felt necessary for the Stonehenge World Heritage Site and yielded only a thin, scattered remnant of Mesolithic and Neolithic artefacts that would barely fill a bucket." Staff employed by Tarmac's Northern said that the archaeology found during a recent survey was not worth their jobs. Speaking on behalf of some 55 quarry staff and contractors, quarry worker Paul Ingram said, "The proposed site is of modern farmland, not a Neolithic village, and the archaeologists have found only a small quantity of remnants from pottery and flint, the like of which can be found in lots of fields in Britain. What makes a bucket of crumbs worth £10 million and the loss of 50 jobs?" Quarry manager Alan Coe said that they are aware that when colleagues at the quarry in Northumberland recently found Neolithic remains, English Heritage permitted their removal for archaeological examination and the quarry continued in operation. "We're concerned that different rules are apparently being applied in Yorkshire. The decision as to whether the quarrying will continue will be decided at the meeting on February the 21st. And just for a moment, speaking personally, I would both like to see the quarrying stop, but also the understanding required to see why a monument and landscape like this is actually worth saving and cannot be valued in the same way as tons of gravel per hectare. Anyway, back to the news. And discovery of a fire temple and prayer house belonging to the Iron Age and Koli Darwish historical site near Qom in Iran have encouraged archaeologists to continue their studies in this site. This season of excavation was so fruitful that 2 months of excavation were just not enough to finish the studies of the ancient place. During the third season of archaeological excavations at Koli Darwish Tepe, the first fire temple and prayer house belonging to the Iron Age in the central plateau of Iran was discovered and unearthed. This prayer house, with a fire temple at its centre, was deliberately sealed with adobe during the first millennium BCE, and then the raised platform of Koli Darwish was built on top of it. The excavation team succeeded in unearthing this prayer house, which is almost intact after 3,000 years. The first urban architectural plan belonging to the Iron Age in the first millennium BCE, along with a jar burial dating back to the third millennium BCE, were the other important discoveries at the site. During the archaeological excavations in the 5,000-year-old layers, they could trace the developed culture of inhabitants of the region, which was quite unique in the central plateau of Iran. The Archaeological Research Centre was asked to extend the duration of this season of excavation for another month. Fortunately, the research centre has shown its agreement with this proposal, but the only problem that remains is the provision of a budget, which just goes to show that funding archaeology is a problem the world over. Once again, can I remind you that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section, can be found on the Badger website. That's www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stone Pages. That's news.stonepages.com. Thank you very much for listening to the Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.